Okay, sorry for that interruption. We are back. I am Jenna Shaputis interviewing John Lukacs, and we were just looking at Scale Vitamins, the website. I put it in the chat room. Again, that's immunizewisely2z.chattango.com. And I'm Zadi Mom in the chat. I just put it up. Scale Vitamins and the recommended dosage, and it's a pretty simple site. However, it doesn't list the actual ingredients in the capsules, and that would be on, like, how would people access, or do they need a coach to be taking these things? Will they be contacting you?
We're navigating a hostile selling environment, you know. The FDA is trying to basically eliminate the entire nutraceuticals industry. And I'm not, you know, as a provider, or, you know, Emmanuel can't talk to anybody, can't make any statements, he can't do anything. He can't answer your questions, and he won't. And we're doing that on purpose, because if we did, it opens the door to, you know, all kinds of legal wrangling, and we'll just disappear overnight. So he provides the product. I don't have anything to do with that. Anything. I don't touch it. I don't ship it. I don't get any money from this. There's just no connection between me and Emmanuel, except we're colleagues and friends. And we talk a lot. But my job is to, you know, kind of tell you and explain what this is. Okay. So.
Sure.
So that's what I do. And the capsule ingredients list, we have no problem with anybody knowing what's in it. I thought that was smart to put the list. So all the ingredients are in that blog article, Reversing Vaccine Injuries, that I wrote. My email address is CEO@estateartistry.com. And if you're outside the country and you need help, all I'm going to do is, you know, pass your emails along with some instructions, and we'll figure out where you are, and Emmanuel does all that, and how to ship, and he just, like, you know, hand carries it over to the post office and gets it to you. But that's, we're going to build in a shipping calculator that is global. It's kind of, you know, subject to the amount of time our web developer has, and we're working on it. It's coming. But until then, I get in the middle, and I've had to do that a bunch of times. I don't mind doing that.
Okay, great. So, like, this is kind of a package that's put together, and you're following it, but is there a check-in period that, do you have any other, you know, people working with you, or working with
No, this product is literally created with a hand-crank FDA-licensed capsule machine that makes 6 capsules at a time. Okay, so, it's the smallest operation you can imagine. And what M does is, we had a chat about this, like, what if you get a big rush? How are you going to handle it? Said, well, you know, he set aside time during the day to bang out capsules, right? And every spare minute is banging out capsules, and he keeps the supply shelf. And when it gets low, you might see a back order note, but then he refills it again. So he's just trying to create a huge supply of this as much as he can make. And then we're just going to fill orders as we can. I mean, that's all. If I use a co-packer, they will pull out every dirty trick in the book and ruin the formula. And, you know, it's like, I can't trust anybody. I've been advised by people inside, you know, that kind of business to not do that. Now, that was my first thought, right? Get some more people. But now it's going to have to be a bigger capsule machine, which is $1,000 and stuff. So we'll get there, maybe.
What now is
I'm just talking to anybody that'll listen, and trying to let people know that to the extent that I'm able, I can explain what we did here. There are some things I don't want to explain. I'm not going to share Hannah's medical records with anybody. You know, I have to kind of adopt the same standard of ethics that, you know, doctors have. I think that's just wise, prudent. It's also respectful, Hannah. I don't have a lot of contact with her anymore. That's something that people like to, you know, throw out to, you know, prove that I'm full of baloney. But it's because she doesn't want to be a poster child for the world. I mean, this was a very significant thing in her life. And, you know, if she was suicidal, I'd talk about suicide every day for, you know, a whole summer. And, you know, fortunately, I was able to do that. And, you know, we tried to, you know, give her some purpose and let her talk to the public a little bit. I did an interview with her. But when this was over, she just wanted to put it behind her. And she told me that. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'm here for you if anything goes wrong or, you know, any of that. But, you know, go live your life. Just happy to be able to, you know, help you. And thanks for, you know, being the guinea pig on this, because I needed one and I didn't have one. And she was a perfect test subject, too. It was the worst case I could find at the time. And there was no contamination and she didn't have any other vaccine. So I knew what I was dealing with. You know, I have an example. One of the things I mentioned before the break was, you know, this is a large picture that has a lot of parts to it, and it's hard to conceptualize it all. I had to bury myself in this work for 3 years to get the understanding that I have. So, you know, if you're somebody that's done that, you might be on a page with me, but I don't know too many people that are. There are two very important minerals that the body needs, right? Iron and copper, but how you're getting them is, you know, the problem, or if you're getting them. Mitochondrial function, this is the power grid of a cell. And ceruloplasm is a ferrooxidase enzyme. It's one of the most powerful antioxidants in the body. There's been a big lead up to this, you know, COVID scam that goes back years. In the 1940s, they began to use a lot of pesticides that have the effect when you, you know, they're pulling copper out of the body. One of the big ones is like Prosafe, right? Roundup. And there's a lot of misdirection that, you know, Roundup just causes cancer or this. Well, it pulls out copper. You need copper, okay? They also began around the same time to add iron to the food supply. You know, you've seen that label, fortified by iron, all of your cereal or whatever. That's all well and good, but you don't need it that way. You need retinol, which is animal source vitamin A, to load the copper into the ceruloplasm to make the copper bioavailable. You also need magnesium, which becomes attached to ATP, and mitochondria produces magnesium ATP. This is the only fuel that your body runs on. So what depletes magnesium? Well, among other things, like almost all popular pharmaceuticals, stress depletes magnesium. And we're all magnesium deficient. You got to eat those pills like every day if you're going to avoid getting sick of anything. It's very smart to always eat magnesium. What depletes copper? Not just glycosylate, but fear and anxiety, right? So one of my, you know, principal foundational premises is that there is no cause of health problems with disease other than malnutrition and oxidative stress. Okay, so what is that? Okay, we're pulling, you know, points from all over the place here. But a copper deficiency results in unbound iron, which accumulates in tissues, and that's bad. Why? Because iron mixes with oxygen, and what happens? It rusts. So you can think of oxidative stress like rust in the body, okay, which manifests as inflammation and mitochondrial dysfunction and methylation issues. And, you know, everybody's trying to attack, you know, with this problem with take a bunch of methylene blue. Okay, so they have a little piece of it, right, because they understand something about methylene blue, but they don't understand the larger way that the, you know, the mechanism of action here. So, but when you have all these problems, these deficiencies, okay, this starts the process of epigenetics, which is when genes get turned off. Now, one way to look at this is a good reason to study genetic manipulation, but since we really cannot do that the way you probably think we can for reasons that will never be overcome, trying to do that is a good story to fleece your money. And all the so-called need for this, you know, curing genetic diseases like, you know, fake diseases, you know, like AIDS, but or other diseases like ALS, IBS, chronic fatigue, MS and Parkinson's, rheumatoid arthritis, Alzheimer's, autoimmune dysfunction, Wagner's, Lyme, fibromyalgia. You know, these are what you get when you have epigenetic processes going on, okay? It's a great way to disguise the real cause of much of this disease, which is the presence of nanotech okay, we're getting in all kinds of vectors, right? Vectors is by far the worst, but you know, we're eating it, it's falling out of the sky, and it's landing in the soil, it's uptick by plants, and the animals eat the plants. The whole food chain is contaminated with garbage. And as a result, you know, we're all weakened to a certain degree, depending on how bad it is. But that's one story. But you know, another thing that seems plausible to me is that there are light control genes in the body that bend and unbend light. And this is a functional part of the immune system. What the bad guys want is certain genes turned off. I mean, think about 1p36 deletion syndrome, the very first one on the list of, you know, 1,309 published side effects of the vaccine that came out of, you know, Pfizer's own paperwork. They also have self-detected bends and unbends light. I mean, think of weird stories you've heard, like blue street lamps and stuff like that. So it doesn't take much of a leap to connect a few possible dots here and conclude messing with immune function is a pretty stealthy way to cull the herd. And in effect, that's what they're doing. But, you know, there are all these separate areas, you know. But what is genetics research? There is no such thing as genetics research. There's such a thing as, you know, there's a technique of transferring plasmids between bacterium, and one of the easiest ones to work with, one of the simple ones, E. coli, which is why E. coli is always popping up here and there, right? But there is no device. I mean, people throw CRISPR at me, but it's because they don't understand what CRISPR actually does. You cannot, you know, with precision, identify a couple of pearls in a string of DNA that is 9 billion pearls long and replace them with something else and cause the desired effect. That is just bunk. That cannot be done. And the only thing they can do is muck around and produce happy mistakes that have some commercial use, like, you know, McDonald's french fries is a great example. People love to, you know, show you that McDonald's french fries don't rot. Well, they actually do rot, but you just can't see it because they turned off the gene that causes the black pigment in rotting potatoes. So there you go. Somebody had a use for that. But it was an accident, and most of the stuff is an accident. Mostly what they're doing is taking a precision clockwork and throwing a monkey wrench in it. So they're fixing a switch watch with hammers and screwdrivers. It's just, the result's not going to be good. And it's a very gross pollution of the body, all kinds of toxins. But it also supports the growth of some stuff that, you know, is more advanced and so tiny that people can't see it. I mean, you can't see nanotech like what I'm talking about. 30 nanometers, you need an electron microscope. You know,
right.
There's nobody running around with optical microscope looking at that.
Right. I mean, for years now, I've been messing with Tony Pantaloresco's anti-nano bucket, and it's like that I can't necessarily see the results. I don't have the type of microscope to see if it's working and what and how, but I don't think I'm as toxic or overloaded as some people.
I don't know if you are or not. I don't know if I am, but let me talk about that for a minute. So I took a drive about a half a day south to meet with a fellow named Eric, who was by the Firemedic 8. This guy uses some things that Tony Pantaloresco invented. But I don't want to make any enemies here, but Tony, there's no logic to anything Tony says. Okay, I can't find any in it. I've listened to his podcast. I like the guy as a person, and I wanted to talk to him for a while, and I wanted maybe Eric to set that up. But now I'm starting to think, the more I listen to him, that he really is an accidental hero. I don't even think he understands what this device he made does. But I think Eric does. What Eric has done is, he's field tested this, and I went down there to see this for myself because when I... Yeah, I've known him for a while. He's been writing me a lot of email, but I was skeptical because I just don't understand, like, what does this do again? And most devices I'm skeptical of. I got my eyes open, man. When I went down there and I saw actually what he's doing, and I learned that a lot of his work is making its way into some of the work of more credible people. Like, you know, Anna Mahalcia was, I got to know her through the Doctors for COVID Ethics calls, and we had some private calls, and she sent me her books and all that. I think she's really cool. She's promoting EDTA chelation therapy, but she doesn't talk to me anymore. She deleted all my comments off her Substack because, you know, something that I said, not even on her Substack, but, you know, EDT chelation is a temporary solution that comes right back. And I know this because I've talked to people that are undergone that therapy. So, yeah, it does work, but how good is it? How accessible is that to everybody? I want something, like, come up with something anybody can do without having to touch the criminal medical syndicate. So, maybe that pissed her off. I don't know. But Eric, you know, he put these devices on me. We looked at things. He's got a whole notebook of pictures that he took. He's got his microscope there. And I'm looking over all this stuff that he extracted from people. I have a theory that the two of us kind of came up with actually why this works. And I think he agrees with it now. But we must talk 7-8 hours trying to figure out exactly what's going on here. Here's what I think it is. And this is speculative, but it's the only thing I got, right? You sit in a bath of water with this coil that creates a very strong 20-volt DC current that oscillates. The nanomaterial has behaviors, okay? It's not a parasite. It's not a biological living thing. It's we're observing the properties of exotic materials, okay? But what this does, was capable of, is creating a piezoelectric effect and harvesting that energy for that effect out of the ambient microwave soup that we all like stroll around in every day. And so it likes, like any parasite, a host environment which is rich in the source. When you sit in a bath of water with this coil, it produces an attractive host environment that looks better than the one that it's in, and it aggressively leaves the body and comes out through the skin. And if you have this crap in you, you sit in this water for a while, you take a credit card, just scrape it off, and then, you know, he'd walk over the microscope and look at whatever the hell it was. And it's gross. I mean, it looks like those hairballs that we can see when the accumulations get really big. It looks like, you know, like the floor of an electrician's place where, you know, little bits of solder and wire. Yeah, it's really something else. And the other device is, he calls it the spike, but it's a homemade EEG system. And, this is the same system that you would, the doctor would use in a clinic that wanted to evaluate you for neurological dysfunction. So, you know, in the various reports, you see a lot of neurodegenerative illnesses and effects. And this is due to an inflammation on the myelin sheath that erodes that on the nerve, and then the nerve shorts out or doesn't work well. And so if you have, ALS or Parkinson's, you go to one of these clinics and they evaluate the extent of your neurodegeneration by, giving you a couple of pads that carry an electric pulse, and they ask you questions like, do you feel that? Is it strong? Is it light? How strong? And they have you rate it. They measure how long it takes for you to feel the effect, and they sit there twisting the dial. All right, so this is a very simple one. It has just one setting. It's on, okay? But 20 volts is significant. I mean, if you put in a sensitive area, maybe inner thigh or something, and turn this thing on, you're going to flinch, right? It might take, Eric said, almost 10 minutes for him to feel it at all. Now, he's a paramedic, so he uses this stuff. He knows what he's doing. So he's demonstrating on me, and, you know, I started by standing on the pads, and, you know, I would feel it a little bit. It'd be like snap, 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 but it wasn't very strong. But he said, just wait. And I sat there and sat there and sat there, and, you know, 3 or 4 minutes goes by, and it's getting stronger. You know, he didn't touch the device. It's just I'm feeling more of it. And he's like, see, that's how you tell that you got something going on. I'm not vaccinated, so this is what's going on with me as a result of anything that maybe I ingest. But, you know, I've taken measures over the past 3 years. I wasn't as bad as he was expecting me to be. You know, it didn't take long for me to want to get off these pads. And, you know, we put in our hands, put in our forearms. We played around with it quite a bit to see how bad it was. And I have some real nerve damage there. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to add that FM8, he had a background where he had some damage from EMF waves with his background. So, somehow,
yeah, he used to climb towers and install what was called, he told me, the Blue Sky system. It was like an emergency cellular broadcasting system that was a government thing that was supposed to be only used if you had a license, and it was like to coordinate firefighters in various places to help fight a fire. And he was one of the first people that got certified on this. And it was weird how he said, you know, it was such a process that it was hard to get through for whatever reason. But he was always standing in front of these dishes, and the most they would tell him is, you know, don't stand in front of it when it's on. But, you know, just being around that equipment gave him some serious issues where, you know, he can't use a cell phone. Cell phones just, he gave me a litany of things that go on with him. But you know, he shorts out when he's around EMF stuff. And it's really hard to evaluate EMF sensitivity. I think that it's real, but I don't think that, I think that if there's any doubt about it, I think it's because, you know, nobody really wants to look at this hard, and the people that do are not sure how to really evaluate what's
true.
Going on with
somebody. True, absolutely. I had, we had talked to Dr. Martin Paul, and this is kind of his forte that he's been studying for years and years. And at one point he was mentioning that there was a rise in paramedics and EMT, the drivers, because they're so charged up with all the electronics that there was like rising numbers of suicide in that realm.
Well, I have a couple examples I could, you know, support that with. Like, you know, there's one person I was talking to that, again, terrible, dying of vaccine injury. She underwent EDTA chelation therapy and some other things and felt a lot better. But then, you know, like celebration, she went off on a cruise. And as we know, cruise ships are just, you know, giant antennas, right? So you're getting a high dose whenever you're in one of these places, you know, cruise ship, a hospital especially, you know, people that drive for Amazon, you know, that are cracked constantly, I wouldn't want one of these stuff. So she regressed. She immediately came back from this trip and she was all messed up again. And I was like, well, you know, are you surprised? Do you listen to me now? I mean, what, you know, do I sound a little smarter than I did yesterday? Tony, curiously enough, says, advises people not to use the triangle with if you're vaccinated. I have no idea why he says that. I mean, Eric's been doing that, and his own son has some very severe problems where, you know, he goes into town, you know, he might experience paralysis or unconsciousness or something. He's been in the hospital a lot of times and measuring all kinds of things and all kinds of levels of things, Eric knows, you know, what those levels mean. They're not good. But he's got, you know, these various measures and metrics up to a normal standard for the first time, you know, his life, just using the triangle. Now, he's not vaccinated, but vaccinated people have used the triangle. They get nothing but healthy effects. And, you know, some of these same metrics, if they're willing to have some tests on or talk to him more, share more, you know, he's seeing that, you know, there's nothing bad about this. So I don't know why Tony thinks that he shouldn't use it. It's just more evidence he doesn't know what he has. What I was thinking when I saw this was, wow, I wish I knew this when I was working with Hannah, because maybe I would have tried that. I could have built one. It's very easy to build. But I'll never know unless somebody wants to volunteer. And the flip side of that work is I kind of had to promise Emmanuel I would stop doing this, because the reasons I said before, you know, he's like, stop explaining this. The more you explain this, the more trouble we're going to get into. I'm like, oh, okay. But it's hard. You know, I mean, I'm really curious. I'm so invested in this. I'm really, you know, I want to know these answers. And I have to be careful what I say. I have to be comfortable with looking like a charlatan. That's the bottom line. And there's nothing I can do about that, really. It's just par for the course. And that sucks if people are skeptical enough that they won't try this. But I really wish people would, because I've received, you know, thousands of letters from every country in the world. People are dying of this. And that's one of the things that motivated me to try so hard. You know, I want to help those people. I just don't want to see this go on anymore. I've lost members of my own family, you know, some friends that I've known for 20 years ago. They're not around anymore. Some ex-girlfriends. And my point is, that I think everybody can understand, is they're not just erasing people. They're erasing, like, you know, if anybody's ever come up to you and said, hey, I remember you because of something, and you know, thanks for doing whatever that was. You know, that happens to me a lot. But it doesn't happen to me much anymore. And I'm finding a lot of those people aren't even around anymore because they fell for this scam. And so they're erasing my presence on the earth. You know, not just trying to erase you. They're trying to erase your evidence you were ever here. Any good you've ever done. That's over the
line. I'm really glad that you're talking. We all need to just keep talking because we will pull through this eye of the needle. And it's great when people are in that. It's like, thank you for asking for help. We need that. We're all working together on this subject. And I do want to invite callers. If there's callers out there, the last half hour of the show, 512-248-8252. If you have some questions or comments on subject, please call in, 512-248-8252. Because they won't stop. They're not going to stop because we have to stop them. And it's with using every bit of energy that we have left in us that we need to focus on stopping this. I'm sorry. I just had to blurt that out. But, John, I think you're doing a great job. And I just, Emmanuel's wonderful. I loved listening to that interview on Fakeologist. And
That was terrible. He was really mad after that. He was so mad. He was like, I would never do that again. Just because, I think that evening, Ab was kind of, he kind of had ADD. And, like, we came on there to talk about something, and we never got to it. We just wanted to talk about, like, mundane stuff. And Ab is a terrible person to interview because he tells stories that go on too long, and you can't figure out why you're telling the story. And it's like, those two getting together was just the worst thing ever.
It was a lot of information. And we all have something to share. And it sounded like he wanted to keep going on and on and on. And we all do. And we need to use our voices. So go ahead.
I've never had a conversation with Emmanuel that isn't 5 hours long. So the band could, But, you know, I even have to stop him sometimes. Like, oh, man, come on. I don't want to hear the story again. You know, I mean, I love him. He's like my best friend now. But, you know, I got to be honest, I'm better suited to talk about this than he is. And we don't want him talking anyway, so it's probably better.
Staying focused. True. Okay, well, are we at a break or? Break in 30 seconds. So we have 30 seconds. You know, a lot of this, like how this has all been played on us is something referred to as creative destruction. And there is a psychological reversal going on. And I think that there's few and far between that can identify it. But John, you're one of them. So when we come back, we are open to calls or we will just continue sharing information.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi. Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Well, welcome back, everyone. I'm Jenna Shpoutis filling in for Ingrid on her birthday. Happy birthday, Ingrid. And my guest, John Lukash, has agreed to take some calls. We've got three calls already lined up. But I do want to mention in the chat room, Chris Steiner brought up, speaking of seroplasmin, you've probably heard of research by Morley Robbins. This would probably be directed to John. Is that possible?
I'm sorry, you want to send somebody my way?
Oh. In the chat room, someone mentioned in the chat, probably directed to you, speaking of seroplasmin, you've probably heard of research of Morley Robbins at, then there's a website, therootcauseprotocol.com. It was a question. Have you heard of Morley Robbins?
No. But that root method, there's something to that, and it ties back into that the thing I was talking about the role of copper and iron. I mean, I don't agree with everything that is in the root method, but then again, I'm not trying to really evaluate other products for their effectiveness. I'm hunting down a very specific solution, and you know, my research, a lot of things enter into that, but not everything. So I don't know if I could really comment on it.
That's fine. Okay. Well, we're going to take our first caller. We have Charlie in Florida on line one. And Charlie, hopefully you'll just keep it on topic and your comments towards John. Thanks. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Hey, John, I really, really appreciated your what you did with that child or the, I don't know the age of the person, but you helped them. Yeah, with all the stuff you did, and that's really where it's at. I think people, we can't just focus on one thing. We have to look at a broad level of things to cure people with these things. And it's very, you know, it's very telling that you're smart enough to pull things out from different directions like that, especially with the DMSO. I used to use that stuff a long time ago, but I had no idea it could be used in this way, and I found that very interesting. Oh, do you? Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, let me change the fact that he said that, you know, every day of his life, he drank like a whole shot glass of that. It tastes disgusting, but you do
it
get
does smell a little bit. It can make, it can cause, yeah. It can cause you to smell a little bit, yeah. But listen, I wanted to ask you something else. Yeah, I don't want to rain on this parade a little bit, but I don't want to be the bad guy here, but I want to dig into this a little bit closer, and that has to do with the Tony. I don't know, I can't ever pronounce his last name, but his
Ken Tellerisco.
Yeah, his thing with the magnetic fields, and I'm just wondering. You said your friend has any of this stuff been tested? I mean, really tested, because I mean, just looking at it through a magnifying glass or a high-powered microscope, unless you really know what you're looking at, you really don't know what you're getting.
So that's why I went down there to see these devices that Eric got from Tony. I needed some proof, and I feel like I got more than enough proof. In fact, I want to, you know, probably add this to my advice, but you know, I just haven't really done that yet, but I've been talking about it a lot, and I intend to build one of these things. I actually don't have a bathroom in my house. I have like a shower stall, a couple of them. So how am I going to test this? I'm gonna have to build some kind of tub or bathtub. You know, I'd like sit in it, but I'm gonna do that. I was thinking maybe, you know, a smaller bucket, make a half size version, because the one that he's talking about is about a foot for every side of the triangles. It's fairly big thing. But as far as Tony goes, I love that Tony came up with this, man. And I got, you know, such an admiration for the guy, even if it was completely accidental. But his whole thing about magnets doesn't make any sense to me. I asked what is the function of the magnets in the design? Because, you know, taping all these opposing magnets in there is kind of a pain in the ass. And I want to know if there was, like, if it was actually doing anything. So fortunately, I have a friend who's a theoretical physicist who's very wise on all this stuff, and I asked him, and he said it's what produces the oscillations in the field. So it's the oscillations which kind of, if you can think of it like a fishing lure, kind of says, hey, I'm over here, and, you know, it's what draws the stuff out. So that makes sense to me, but I needed somebody like him to explain it, because I looked on all kinds of physics boards and everything.
Drawn out? I mean, is there any real proof that it's nano tech stuff? I mean,
you gotta be specific.
Right?
There's a whole bunch of debris that comes out, which is largely unidentifiable, but it's definitely stuff that shouldn't be in your body. It looks nasty, and I have lots and lots of pictures of it, and, you know, you can find, you know, go look on Eric's videos, and he'll show you what he's doing. So is it nano? Well, if it was truly that microscopic, you wouldn't be able to see it, right? But this stuff accumulates. So you have, you know, what amounts to carbon fiber hairballs, you know, like Morgellons disease. You ever heard about that? It looks like that stuff. So small things can band together and make larger things. And these are the masses which are excreted. And this is what we're looking at. And it's all we can look at, because we don't have like a university with an electron microscope and go fishing for deeper. Some people do, though.
I find it very interesting, because I think there is actually something going on. I just wanted to try to get more information as to what we can really say what it is. But
Yeah, can I ask something? Because, you know, if you're a fan of Tony, you've seen him do this. So he'll make, like, a chiclet roll of, or a lifesaver roll of opposing magnets and tape them all together, and he, like, carries those in his pockets and imagines that he's got a protective, like, cone around him or something. I can't understand what the hell that's about. I made a bunch of those things, and I try to surround various devices with them to see if I could see any measurable effect on fields of various kinds, and they do nothing. So
right.
I don't know where that comes from. So, you know, Tony's a mixed bag. He might have some brilliant ideas. I don't know what all they are. I certainly found this one, and, you know, this gets back to Tony. Tony, thank you so much. This is amazing, you know, what we've been able to do with this. I don't think your understanding of what it is accurate, but that's okay. It still doesn't diminish you at all.
Okay, we're going to move on to our next caller.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Now we have Mike in Kentucky on line three.
When you're talking about nanotech, I think a lot of people haven't really looked into how far back that goes, you know, as far as even if you consider IBM might have actually spelled out their logo in 1989 using xenon atoms.
I know. I have looked at it. And if you know any Southern Baptists, you know, talk to them about how far back it goes, then this is the reason for the flood. I mean, I don't know what to make of that. What I know is, yeah, it's been going on a long time. This is very old stuff, but it kind of speaks to that opinion that a lot of people float out there to not look at things, which is, oh, you don't know how advanced they are. They're 50 years or 100 years ahead of us, and you don't know what they have. Well, yeah, because, you know, power-mad psychopaths love to hoard their little weapons until, you know, they need them. And the less you know about that, the better. They got all the money in the world to do this work covertly or in front of you under the auspices of something else. And there's a whole lot of stuff we don't know. We're sitting here in a position of reverse engineering, right? We're looking at the effects of the stuff. We're coming back from that observation and saying, what's the cause of this? What could be causing it? So we're figuring it out because the effects are pretty dramatic. I just think, you know, you have to have a multidisciplinary approach because certainly they did.
Prince Charles said to beware of the gray goo or something of nanotech, and a lot of people had no idea what it was until that made it into the mainstream news.
Harold Klaus Fella has the best explanation of what that goo is, but it includes a cosmology which, you know, so fantastical. I think it's probably something that makes them, you know, makes people not want to take him seriously. But Harold is brilliant. And, you know, if you go back to 2002 and you listen to his lecture at Open Minds Conference in Denver, he dwarfed Clifford Carnicom in his explanation of Morgellons. And it was just a magical thing. I couldn't stop watching that. It was unbelievable.
You get the impression that they don't know what they're doing, though. They're charging full speed ahead. I mean, Clinton launched that nanotechnology initiative
That's
in 2000. But
that's a great point. And, you know, there's an author from – yeah, there's an author that, you know, I'd recommend people get into. There's a book called Eugenics and Other Evils by Gilbert Keith Chesterton. And he makes a point in that book that, yeah, they don't know what they're doing, but they think that their work is important and whatever comes out of it will yield the answer they're looking for. That's kind of a paraphrase, but that's where he describes it.
Whatever we can get grant money to do, we're going to do it. Whatever we're going to get grant money to do. But, you know, I ran across there used to be a guy on shortwave. I'm trying to remember his name, Lou Lyon. And somehow I ordered this magnet. I never had to pay for it. It's a big brick magnet, and it could change on a cathode ray tube type TV. 6 feet away, it would change the color.
Oh, yeah.
And I decided I was going to try to do this lemonade fast. And one day I did the lemonade fast once or twice, which was the cayenne lemon juice thing. And I decided I'd put a glass of the lemon juice lemonade on that magnet in the fridge. And it took me quite a number of years. I stumbled across the quantum theory that says that there's a unique electron in the lemon juice that has a reverse spin. And what I didn't know it at the time, but when I put that lemon juice on that magnet, it made it taste like soapy water. It took all the tartness out of the citric acid.
There's a whole spinoff into this stuff that gets into something called reactive oxygen species that's working its way into, like, public HVAC systems and everything. I mean, they're really trying to just poison the air you breathe and then tax you for breathing.
Well, what I thought was fun, and I guess you probably picked up on it, when the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, was so arrogant, they said NASA, the National Meteorological Association, the National Weather Service, and I forget, several agencies don't know what they're talking about when they were trying to point out that their 24 or 23.75 gigahertz water sensors were going to get interfered with by the 24 gigahertz band in 5G. You know, did you catch that?
I
thought that was so arrogant. They said that all that group of scientists don't know what they're talking about.
A lot of scientists don't know what they're talking about. I don't know if it's true or not, but most of the ones I talk to are often some kind of crazy world, you know, that I can't even get into.
Well, the FCC was just full steam ahead on this, and, you know, they didn't care, you know, talk to the science people or whatever. They're looking for any chunk of spectrum that can put those 5G channels in, and so they wanted 24.2.
Right, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, because one of the things that I happened on to just by accident was getting into some exotic materials manufacturing industry literature. You know, they figured out that it's easy to make graphene with pulse modulated frequency exposures, and this replaced an exfoliation method, which was a little more costly and kind of cumbersome. And this, you know, leads into this idea of, I call it microwave Morse code, right? It's the way that they transmit instructions to various types of nanosensory arrays to become active or report or whatever they do with them. And, you know, it's hard to find the recipe book for all these things, but it's something like, you know, 26 gigahertz for, you know, for 3 minutes, followed by a 10-second pause, followed by 18 gigahertz for that amount. So microwave Morse code is how they talk, and is how they, in the manufacturing industry, in the graphene industry, is how they make graphene. And you can think about this like, you know, if you want to be Dr. Evil and put that hat on, all we got to do is irradiate all these people that have all these precursors in them, and this stuff's going to, you know, get active and coagulate and do all kinds of, you know, things that, you know, cause health problems. So, yeah, they probably got a lot of little tricks like that. I just, you know, it's hard to
find
out
what
they are.
What do you think of prions? Are prions nanotechnology, the prions of misfolded proteins that a lot of people are linking up?
I don't believe in prions because, by definition, they're misfolded proteins, right? Okay, so misfolded proteins are useless items that your body manufactures or recycles into other useful things. It's just like mRNA. What a steaming pile of horse hockey that is. You know, your body, if it's healthy, and granted a lot of people aren't, knows what doesn't belong there. You just put this genetic spam mail in it, it just dismantles it. It takes like a nanosecond. It doesn't last at all, which is why they got to encapsulate it in lipid nanoparticulate envelopes and disguise it all kinds of other ways, and, you know, carbon polymer spheres that can't be seen with anything but an electron microscope. I mean, I got all this work. I understand what they're doing, but they're implanting bombs in people that they can trigger to go off when they walk under the wrong cell tower, and that's what they're doing when you have a variant outbreak. If it's anything, it's that.
Wow.
Yeah, the nanotech.
Mike, I'm sorry. We do have one more caller.
Well, I'm just going to say, yeah. I think you almost touched on something that I've heard other people say, basically, is God stupid? You know, would he not give us some immune systems?
Well,
if
that's their attitude, right? That whole Luciferian thing. But listen, if I miss anybody and they want to talk to me, just call me. I mean, my number is 949-929-9151. I take calls from people. I'm very easy to get to. So I'm happy to talk with you more about this.
Sure.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
Okay, now we have a new caller, Danielle in North Dakota.
Yes, hey. Hello, how are you guys doing this evening?
Good.
Good, thanks.
I just I want to say I appreciate the topic and all the research and study that you've put into this in helping people. And I just wanted to offer a spot on my, I have an independent social media website, social1776.com. And I just wanted to offer you guys a place on there where you can create a page and put your information. We have
Send me an email. Send me an email and I'll maybe take you up on that.
All right. I will do that. Well, what's your email?
CEO@estateartistry.com.
CEO@estateartistry.com. All right. I'll do that. Anyways, I just want to say I appreciate this topic you guys brought up tonight. And, you know, I've had a bunch of friends and family die of this COVID jab. And so it hits me personally, and I know it hits a lot of people. We've seen a lot of really bad things happen with this. And
well, if you have more, I've got a fix. I mean, it worked for Hannah. Everybody's human. I only got one example, but it's good enough for me, good enough for her. I would encourage you to try it.
Yeah, I want to keep following your work to see, you know, more positive stories come out as you go along with this, and I hope that you keep.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get some. I'm hoping people will report back to me and tell me what's going on with them. So, you know, Eric, yeah, the problems with that were, you know, most of the people that he was working with, they don't, you know, they're very private people. They don't even want him keeping samples of the stuff that he pulls off of them, some of them. But you know, this is just the environment we're in, right? We got to take what we can get.
Absolutely. All right. Well, again, thanks, guys, for doing this tonight, and I'll continue listening. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Yeah. You know, Brian just had a great idea. We do need to get hardcover books circulating. John's books, What Now, to naturopaths, people that are kind of on the spectrum of not quite a doctor, but willing to look at other options. I mean, there are still practicing.
There's nothing the naturopath's going to, like, find useful in my second book. I mean, I'm thinking, I feel guilty about that because I think I steered a lot of people wrong. I really believed it at the time, but I didn't know I was wrong. Once I tested it, which I think everybody should do, I just didn't have an opportunity until it presented itself. Then when I did, what I'm telling everybody now is, like, please don't follow that. I'm sorry. I just, once you put a book out there, it's hard to get rid of it. And when the copies are gone, I think I'm going to let it go out of print. I'll still give it away to people in PDF form if they email me. The first book is timeless. The first book will never go out of style because it's the most important information in there.
Okay. The first book.
Yeah, the second book has a lot of theories in there which are valid. About half of it is, like, good information, but the protocol is crap.
Okay. And that the title of that book is Curious.
It's either Curious, Start the Conversation, or the way I am selling it now, which I prefer you go to A&A Printing and get it, not Amazon, because they never pay me anything. It's called COVID-19 Vaccines and Induced Anaphylaxis. That was the title they wouldn't let me put on it at Amazon.
Right. So A&A Printing is the place to go. Okay.
Yeah, if you just put the title in, it'll come up to the top of a Google search. It still does magically. I don't know.
In my opinion, sharing a book opens up conversation. You know, it's a bridge to connect people because they can take it home, they can sit with it, and then there's conversation following. So,
I don't chase anybody for copyright things. Use whatever you want in there, put it anywhere you want. Nobody's going to craft you. I don't care. That's why I did it.
Well, great. So I guess we have a couple minutes left. I thought that would be a longer call. If anyone else wanted to call quickly, we've just got a couple minutes. We are 512-248-8252. And, we're wrapping up the end of the show. John, do you have any, parting thoughts? And if we do get,
yes, I just one. I want people to understand that all the scary news and propaganda that's floating around, all these dangerous things, all these, you know, patents that are scary, all this shit, they're not winning or anywhere near as dangerous as you might think. You know, this is not an existential crisis, but they want you to believe that. Why? So
simple. It causes oxidative stress. It stresses you out. It makes you live in fear. Don't do that. You know, call these people what they are, a bunch of bullshit artists. And yeah, some of their stuff is dangerous, but, you know, we can fight what's real. Just don't waste any time stressing over what's not real. All right. So all this genetics nonsense is garbage. Viruses are garbage. Contagious diseases are garbage. You know, there's nothing to support that. You might not believe it as firmly as I do, but then you didn't do the work I did. So, you know, get busy. It's hard to research now. If I started now, I couldn't get to the same place because they've censored the whole damn internet. It's hard for me. I got to use 5 different browsers to find anything, and I got to be very specific about what I'm looking for. It's hard, but if you going to trust anybody, you know, trust the little guy that, you know, doesn't get any play because he's got more truth than the FDA.
Absolutely. All right. Oh, we do have a Scott in New York in 2 minutes. What do you got, Scott?
Hey there. 2 minutes? Hi. Yeah. Tony Pantolaro does know what he's doing. It's really Michael Chappell's work. He was doing it in Mexico, then in this country, then in 4 different places. They chased him. They finally took him out about maybe 2-3 years ago. And the family
emailed me a link, and I'll look at that.
What was your number? I didn't get your phone number. What was your phone number? I got your CEO at estateartistry.com.
Yeah, it's 949-929-9151. I don't want to say anything disparaging that's going to get Tony mad at me. I really don't want that. But I just can't find...
No, he does know some of what he's doing. And probably what you just said about RF, that's probably why he said not to do it with the vaxxers, because the RF will start those clot things. So that's probably why he said that.
But he does
know more than I was... He surprised me. He knows more than I thought he did. But I'll talk to you on the side.
Okay,
Scott,
sure.
I'm in New York. Michael
Chappell. He did it. Big capacitors. He was doing the Magellans. Very successful for many years, but he had to keep splitting. And then they took him out. And and his work, I'd like to follow up on his work.
Tony says I'm full of baloney, so I don't know why he thinks that, but whatever. It's okay.
Well, I know some high-tech stuff. You seem to know some. I'm not well-spoken like you, but, yeah, you seem to know some stuff, too. But I'll get together, and I'll turn you on to some what I know.
Okay, thanks.
We just have about
20
more
seconds. What he's doing is a jewel thief circuit with the double coils.
Okay, we got to stop.
Okay, all right, peace. Thanks.
Okay, we just have a couple more minutes. I think that you're offering hope where Tony, in a lot of senses, has given up on any, you know, on a lot of things. And so
I agree.
Yeah. We do learn a lot from him. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Chris Steiner, in the chat room for all the links that you shared. And thank you for all the callers tonight. Thanks for Ingrid allowing us this opportunity. Happy birthday to her. And thank you, John, for everything you've done, and I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.